After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Creativity, Spirituality, and Making a Buck podcast with David Nichtern on the Be Here Now Network. This is our second installment of David's View, where David and I are in discussion about meditation and Dharma and how they relate to everyday life. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the Creativity, Spirituality, and Making a Buck podcast with David Nichtern, and I'm his buddy, Michael Cameras, riding shotgun.
Trusty sidekick. You're my Ed McMahon.
What did Batman call Robin? Was it like his liege or something?
No.
No, well,
I don't know.
I'm spacing on it. We can edit that out. Okay.
But in any case, I know you're a Dharma nerd, Michael. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is fair to say.
In that, and to clarify for the people out there, that means you love the Buddha Dharma. You really study, you read a lot, you practice a lot. You're trying to get to the bottom of the whole situation. So conversations with you, you're in a way, you kind of first among equals in terms of the students trying to get to understand what all this stuff is about. So our conversation should theoretically be relevant for others.
Theoretically, I hope it is. Yeah. You know.
So what's on your mind these days?
Well, during our last conversation, I was listening very closely and speaking from my experience as a meditator to like connect, what we were talking about to my experience in, you know, the mindfulness awareness practice that we do. And as a good Buddha Dharma teacher that you are, you brought it back to groundlessness because I kept talking about like my experiences in the meditative state. So I thought that was salient to our conversation. I also feel like in the more popular mindfulness conversation that I see, that's not really something that we hear or see about in advertising and, you know, Instagram feeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very results oriented for the most part.
Yeah, and also when people, if they don't have a t-shirt and they experience something like that, it might be confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there might be benefit as well, because as we know, the primary stages of practice is about finding ground. There's the Buddha touching the earth. There is a sense of becoming grounded and stable in some sense. And then there's probably a further evolution of going beyond one's habitual notion of ground and trying to see what the real depth of the situation might reveal. So, you know, as we've talked about it as focus and discovery. So, yeah, it's good for people to learn how to focus and settle. It's very hard to get any kind of good discovery happening without that. It becomes very helter-skelter. But beyond that, then there's really looking at the nature of phenomena, which is Vipassana. So the focusing and settling, as we've talked about, is called shamatha in Sanskrit. And one-pointed, and the idea of peace or concentration is in there. And then the idea of Vipassana is really exploring, which means there's a certain kind of fearlessness, right? If you're ready to explore, it means you're willing to be open to whatever you find.
Yes, and I mean, speaking from my experiences, if you are opening to fearlessness, you've probably touched your fear.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the Shambhala warrior approach that we're talking about in our Tuesday class. So that's exactly the idea, is that not knowing the nature of fear, it's impossible to experience fearlessness. That's the general logic there, which doesn't mean like, okay, you have to throw yourself into situation after situation that will, you know, freak you out. That might not be smart, and you might go past your limit to be able to handle what's coming. But the fear is already there. That's the beauty of it. You know, we wake up afraid. We wake up with anxiety. We wake up with tentativeness, with a kind of uncertainty. And so it's already there. You don't have to go looking for it, do you?
No, you don't have to go looking for it, but maybe you have to stop looking away from it.
Yeah, well said. So what do we make ground out of? You know, I was at a dinner gathering last night, and people were talking about the idea of reincarnation. And what is it that reincarnates, if anything, you know? And the idea that there may not be a entity with any kind of solid identity at the core of our whole existence is kind of an amazing reveal. It would be like you think you're looking at a close-up, and then the camera zooms back, and, you know, like in those helicopter shots, and you see like thousands of miles of Earth around you all of a sudden. So that vastness, you know, is a very positive experience. That's, I think people don't talk about that enough, that there's something expansive about groundlessness.
Well, there's a lot of space, right? If you're not, if things aren't as solid and fixed and claustrophobic, perhaps.
Yeah, and you know, as far as I can tell, and this is, you know, we're fellow explorers here at this moment, a lot of what I fill space with, I generalize and say that maybe I've observed that many people do, is the kind of density of emotional life, you know, which is reactive in its core. It's not reactive in nature. Emotions are just energy by nature. But the way we manage them is to create a sense of identity out of it. And, you know, I like this, I don't like that. These people were not mean to me. If only this was the case, then everything would be cool. And then beyond that, not even just the narrative of it, but the kind of feeling of applying a tourniquet to the flowing quality of the emotion. And it just gets blocked up. And then you, next thing you know, you're you know, super pissed off, or just desperately needy, or spaced out beyond recognition. Those are the three roots, right? The passion, aggression, and ignorance. And we spend most of our time and energy in those three roots, the three kleshas. If I tap you on the shoulder at 4 o'clock today, you'd be in one of those.
Yeah.
No? You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. But hopefully I would be turning towards it instead of away from it. Like, or, you know, that's the thing with an awareness practice. It's interesting. You know, last time we talked a little bit about the abstract watcher, or that sense of non-biased awareness. It's interesting to see yourself in that habitual place, like with your momentum, and like maybe or maybe not even be able to pull yourself out of it, but to be aware that you're in it. Those are some of the things that I experience these days in my practice.
Well, yeah, and Trungpa Rinpoche talked a lot about negative negativity. In other words, you have the root klesha, and you're having that experience of density and feeling. And then, as you're saying, you want to look away from it. And that creates a kind of avoidance type of approach. And so his recommendation, and I think going forward, is to strip away that second tier of negativity, which he called negative negativity, and or you're calling avoidance. And then you have a chance to kind of work with the energy of the original feeling. And usually behind that, there's a lot of tenderness. That's been my experience personally, and I think that's generally described. There's a vulnerability, there's a softness, a kind of softening into, you know, your heart, your feelings in your heart. And that makes you a warrior, according to the doctrine that we're studying. Isn't that interesting? It's not, you don't get tougher and tougher and more formidable. You get more and more tender and more human.
It's really so beautiful. I mean, it's a large part of why I'm here. The first time, you know, I heard you, I guess we should give a shout out to your buddy Pete Holmes and his podcast. I heard you there. A lot of us have heard you on Duncan. You know, I heard you talk about the path of warriorship for the first time, that you could have a spiritual practice like grounded in these kind of traditions in the secular world, you know, especially when we're so surrounded, including by our own aggression and grandiosity and speediness, where, you know, to have this practice where we can learn to relate with our own energetic, our own emotions in a more holistic, sane, and flowing way, where we're not knotted up, you know, constantly fighting our emotions as much and going through that process. And then it has helped me open to myself and to my experience and the people around me, you know? So I'm really grateful for that.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, the rainbow, is at the end of the pot of gold. Yeah.
I think no lotus, no lotus, no mud, right?
Yeah. I think that might be a good little bit. Let's pause right there.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, David.
There you have it, folks. On behalf of everyone at the CSM podcast and the Be Here Now Network, we would like to thank you for listening. This is our third installment of David's View, which is David and I in discussion about Dharma topics. I personally feel very grateful to be able to speak to David in this way in this forum, and we sincerely hope that this discussion is as beneficial for you as it is enjoyable for us to have. We'd like to thank Corey at Be Here Now. We'd like to thank Melissa Mattern, our co-producer. If you're interested in following up on any of these things, please head to dharmamoon.com, where we have all of our upcoming programming listed. We're consistently doing mindfulness meditation teacher trainings. And we have a new program called Foundations of Mindfulness for people who are interested in studying mindfulness but maybe not taking a full teacher training. These podcasts are evergreen, even in the realm of impermanence. So we encourage you to go to the website and see what our current offerings are so we can be in community and continuing to develop a society collectively and individually that is mindful, gentle, and brave. So thanks for listening. May you be safe, healthy, happy, and at ease. All the best.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.